Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So this past week, while we were at Bridgeport Camp, one of the questions that came up is, how do you represent Christianity? What does that look like for you to represent Christianity? And we had students go around the family groups and share that discussion. And one of the girls said that in her community of Mount Vernon, one of the local churches has made it their mission to make sure every student in their town has a Bible. And that is incredible. Except on how you might approach that. These students were given Bibles and specifically put a bookmark in chapter 3 of John with John 3:16 highlighted, and handing these out, walking up to people saying, "You really need to read this. You really need to read this. You really need to read this," as in saying almost that you probably have never heard that verse before. Even though Mount Vernon is probably one of East Texas's highly religious community. Is anyone here familiar with John 3:16? Just maybe familiar? Oh, we have this young student here with a blue shirt. Can you kind of just roughly say what John 3:16 is about? You're right there. I don't want to call you out, but what is John 3:16 roughly about? You don't have to say it word for word. Anyone want to help him? Amen. That is an incredible verse. And you probably have seen it in multiple football fields and other gatherings, but I think it's important, and this is where I'm putting on my teaching hat, to put this in context, okay? So here we go. Before we read the scripture, I'm gonna give you a little bit of background on John. John is probably one of the easiest gospels to read. If you've never read a gospel, read the Gospel of John. It is very flowing. It is very narrative, meaning he doesn't bring up a character, he doesn't bring up a beginning without concluding what that's all about. His stories are flowing, they make sense. You can kind of follow whatever things following. It is very intelligent. There's an introduction, explanation, and conclusion. That's the way he writes. In every chapter, there's an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. And if you want to cheat reading all of Gospel of John, read the first three verses, read the last three verses. You know what the intro is, you know what the ending is, and all the meat is in the middle. And his entire gospel is also written in that same highlight. There's the very introduction of what he's trying to say. There's a body of who this person Jesus is about, and then there's a conclusion. He's what's called a holistic writer in the Old Testament mindset, meaning we're going to tell you a story, but we want you to understand the story in fruition. We don't want you to memorize a very specific verse or multiple verses. We want you to understand this story. So when we say John 3:16, there's something that's usually left out, and it's this person by the name of Nicodemus, okay? This guy's name, Nicodemus, is a title. His name in short means victor of people, meaning he was born into popularity. They knew that he was of the class that was going to be raised a religious, educated person, which in that society was a very high status. Oh, we're already presuming what this child's going to be. Nicodemus, the victor of people. Okay, I want to give you this as a background, and remember the way that I told you that John is a very intelligent writer. One of the things that he does is write very thematically. How many of you are familiar with the Twilight series? Anyone kind of familiar with that? There's a theme through Twilight. There's like wolves and Dracula or Draculas or whatever. There's a theme through that's carried from beginning to end, okay? And you follow these people's story. In the same light, John writes about this theme called light. And remember I told you that he's a very intelligent writer. This is his first introduction of what he says about this thing, light, in John chapter 1, verses 4. In him, meaning Jesus, was light, and the life that lights of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. That is an incredible thought, that now this thing has entered into this space and time called our life, and darkness will never be able to overcome it. And then right smack dab in the middle of all his gospels, chapter 8, he explains, Jesus himself explains, this is taken out of John 8, verses 12. Again, Jesus spoke, saying to them, "I am the light of the world." Ding. Said it before, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then at the very last meal before his crucifixion, he's sitting there with his disciple, and he sums it up like this. I have come as light into the world, so that every person who believes in me will never remain in darkness. Do you get this theme? That there is this thing called light that we can call hope and love. It has entered into our time and space in this example called Jesus Christ. And if we just kind of follow this person, we might be able to see what his light and love is so that we can share it. Okay, you got that as a background? Quick background? Okay, now let's jump into John chapter 3. There's a lot of verses here. And if you want, you could read it out loud with me. This is starting from verse 1. Now, there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And then Nicodemus replies, saying to him, how can anyone being born and grown old, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered him, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from nor where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then Nicodemus says to him, how can these things be? Jesus replies, are you not a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and what we testify and what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, then you do not believe them. How can I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. All right, let's talk about titles and labels. First of all, Nicodemus had a few titles that he carried in the first two verses of our scripture today. Number one, if I find my notes right, here we go. He is a Pharisee. In Jesus' time, there were two religious sects. You could say there were Methodist and others, okay? There were those who believed the Methodist way and those who don't believe in the Methodist way. Back in Jesus' day, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, basically two religious sects. And the only thing that really differs between these two is the Pharisees believe in eternal something. They know that you will go to an eternal something, whether you call it heaven or hell or whatever you want to call it. The Sadducees didn't. They believed that you were supposed to live and fulfill God's destiny now. That's the way the two thought. There were the Pharisees and Sadducees. Nicodemus fell in the line of the Pharisees, meaning those who know, believe that there is this eternal dwelling after this planet. So for Nicodemus to go to Jesus, it would have been very proper to ask him, so tell me about the afterlife. A Sadducee would have never had that conversation. They may have argued with Jesus about it, but this person really wanted to know about this eternal dwelling, this afterworld which they live in. The next thing I told you, his name is Nicodemus, meaning the popular one, the victor. He is already appointed. And the next title that he's given is the leader of the Jews. Okay? That title means that he is serving on the ruling council within his community. He's only second to the high priest of that town. So if you want to say there's the president, vice president, he's vice president. So if the upper guy goes out, he's up in command. That's how important this person is. And back then, there was not a distinguishment between politics and religion and things that you talk about and not talk about. People knew what you believed. That's why John was so eloquent in writing the things about him. Your name is Nicodemus. You're a Pharisee. You're a ruler. He labeled all of these things, okay? So he carried all of these titles with him. And that brings me to the question that we had during our family group during Bridgeport last week. What are the titles that we carry? Again, remember the first premise that I had is, what does it mean for you to represent Christianity? And so when we ask this question, what does it mean? What is the titles that you guys carry? The students began to say things like this. Well, I'm an athlete. I play in the band. Somebody says that some people call me ugly. Some label me as a nerd. Some label me as a geek. Some label me as mean. All of a sudden, these titles are thrust upon these students, and they're now in a box. I am now an athlete. I have to roll the way athletes roll. I have to do things the way athletes do. Whether I accept it or not, I carry this title. Oh, I'm a geek. So now I have to roll the way they roll. I play with things. I do things in school. I roll in that fashion. And then I started asking, so what are the titles your parents have? And well, some said mom, dad, they're semi-responsible. Somebody called their parent taxi driver, the ATM, the provider, the caretaker, okay? Those are the titles that they labeled you guys who are parents. And then we also had somebody who's going to Texas A&M next fall who said these things. Well, there are these parties. There's the Republicans, the Democrats, the third parties, the undecided. There are all these titles that we carry, okay? And how I see it and how I read Scripture and how I look at things, people were clearly defined in Scripture. There were those that had and those who didn't have. And Jesus kind of hung out with those who never had. For example, the first people who called were fishermen who were on the bottom of the list. Okay? He hung out with tax collectors, prostitutes, you know all of this stuff. He hung out with those who were the worst of the worst. And who did he condemn? Religious leaders, the rich, the wealthy, the educated. And it makes me begin to wonder, what are we striving for? The things that our culture today absolutely wants. I want to be wealthy. I want to have status. I want to have titles that are important. Are the very thing that Jesus says, maybe not. Maybe not. Throughout his entire ministry, he points out and erases all of those lines. Because all of a sudden, those who never had, that were on the bottom of the wealth, those were the first people he chose to show what love is about. Those are the people he went to show what love is about. And you're saying, where's this all going? It comes down to this. We put titles and labels upon ourselves, okay? They help clarify us. They define us. In some cases, like Nicodemus, they distinguish him. I am a religious leader. Or in our culture, I'm important, I'm popular, I'm a CEO, I have wealth, I have status. Sometimes our titles distinguish us and label us away from others. Last week I got to play the role as a homeless guy, actually for 2 weeks in a row, and I love that role, it's kind of a fun role, and it's kind of interesting how people treat you. They care for you, they love you, they actually protect you. They want you to try to become better, okay? It was one of those amazing experiences that you can only look at it from the back scene, okay? One of the funny things that I often call myself is a lot of times people label me by my hair. For example, for the last 2 weeks at Bridgeport, I was called a pirate multiple times, okay? You thank Johnny Depp for that, whatever. But I never label myself by the way I look. I just don't. I know I call myself Asian. It's just an on-running joke, and that's the way that is. But those are titles that I carry, and there's really doesn't mean anything, okay? But the word pirate does. You're instantly put into a category of people who are like swindlers, bootleggers. And I don't want to put myself, unless it was all the adventures that Johnny Depp had. That would be fun. That would be kind of cool. Okay, so going back to the story of Nicodemus. Jesus answered him in verse 10, "Are you not a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things?" He's taking this religious, important person and bringing them down to a level that is asking this question. Do you not get it? Do you not get it? Do you not understand yet? And then there's this really weird verse, and I know I'm gonna just say it just because everyone always asks about it. And the verse is this: Are you not a teacher and you do not understand? Very truly, I speak of things that we know and testify that you do not understand them. You do not receive our testimony. For I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And here's the part. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What the heck is Jesus talking about? What is this thing with serpents and being raised up? What is that all about? You have to understand, within the educational realm of a Pharisee and Sadducee, they had to memorize the Old Testament. And one of the stories in the Old Testament is this little thing that happened called the Exodus. Anyone kind of familiar with that? All of these people were being, you know, abused by the Egyptians, and then they were basically sent out with the help of God. And then all of a sudden, people started complaining because, okay, you and your God told us to come out here. Now we're dying and there's no food in numbers. And then all of a sudden, God, these snakes start coming and biting all the people. And then Moses says, raise up a serpent on a cross, and those who are bitten by snakes, when they look up upon it, will be healed. Nicodemus would have said, oh, I get it now. This thing about being born from above and from below, I know what you're getting at now. Maybe we in our religious tradition has looked this direction for so long that we've forgotten to look up to the very God that has given us all of this stuff. We've created all these rules and traditions and things that we do on a regular basis, but we forget to look up at God, who all of a sudden takes this universal eraser and starts deleting all of those titles, starts removing all of those things in our lives that we carry. And there's an amazing thing that happened last week at Bridgeport Camp. There was a lady who basically dropped out of school her sophomore year and has never shared this story. In the middle of our week, she shared the story of why she left, and I'm not going to go into details because it's her testimony. But at the very end of it, it comes down to this. She recognized she needed to tell her story so that others might be able to look up to God the same way that she looked up to God. And in the same light, Jesus was reminding Nicodemus, stop looking at religion the way that you're looking at religion, because you're condemning people, you're putting them into boxes, you're putting them into categories, you're sticking them into places, they're doing rules that they can never meet up to. And look up to God. Ascend your eyes above there. And he's basically saying those things that you teach people, you're teaching them, but you're never telling them to go to the very God that is giving them this light. So I brought up the Twilight series. Who remembers this date? Just curious. January 28th, 1986 at 11:39 a.m. Who said it? Does anyone recall that date? Say it again. The space shuttle Challenger blew up. Okay, y'all remember this? I remember in my 7th, 8th grade class, I don't recall what it is. This is the first time we had TVs. I mean, all the schools have TVs now. But back then, it was a big deal. They actually had TVs. They wheeled into the room so that we can watch the Challenger. And I mean, the teachers had no idea how to hook up all the wires. So they had kids come in and hook it all up. And we, for a nation, and I kid you not, our entire nation was watching this. Why? Because there was one person on this shuttle that had never had an opportunity to do this before. Her name was Felicity, and she was a teacher. And she was going to share and educate all of her students about what the shuttle program can do. And then all of a sudden, at 11, whatever the time may be, 11:39, this thing explodes in midair. It's been many, 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 many years since all of those things happened. And recently I ran into a song by Owl City, who wrote this song called Galaxy. And you think it would be depressing and sad about how people die in the midst of tragedy. But somehow or another, this Christian writer takes this song and reminds us that, you know what? We are all coming to a place. And she said that Felicity was basically put in a great place to be able to experience God literally coming from this place into the next. We don't know if they had time to think about this. We weren't there. We don't know. But he takes this sad event in our life and is able to rewrite it to be one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best songs that I've ever heard. Because behind all of that tragedy, there's hope. Behind all of those titles and labels and things that we put in the dark, there's hope. And this is where Nicodemus really is nailed by Jesus. And nobody ever reads the rest of the verses, so I have to read verses 18 through 21 because everyone focuses on John 3:16 so much, they don't get this part. And in this story, remember, there are two characters. There is Jesus and Nicodemus. We are so easily wrapped up with wanting to put ourselves into that story, God speaking to me through this text, that sometimes we need to take a step back and look at what Nicodemus and Jesus is talking about. Here are the words taken from the rest of the verse that nobody reads. People who believe in God are not judged guilty, Nicodemus. Those who do not believe have already been judged guilty because they do not believe in God, the only God and his only son. They are judged by this fact, meaning you, Nicodemus, are judged by this fact. The light has come into the darkness, or the light has come into the world, but they did not want the light, Nicodemus. They wanted darkness because they were doing evil things. All who do evil hate the light and will not come into the light because it will show all the evil things that they are doing. But those who follow the true way come into the light and it shows all the things that they do that were done through God. Now, the very beginning of this story, how did Nicodemus enter the scene? Does anyone remember? He talked to Jesus at night. Do you get that? Jesus, let me pull you aside where nobody else can see me. Come with me in this dark space. And in this dark space, Jesus says, we're here in the dark, Nicodemus. You're hiding. You're hiding things. You're hiding the way. You're hiding the truth. You're hiding what could be so apparent. Step out of the darkness and come into the light. Step out of the darkness. Let's get out of this dark space in this thing that I'm teaching you now. Do it in the daylight. Let's not have this conversation at dark, Nicodemus. Let's not talk about these things at night. Let's talk about these things during the daytime. Because in that light, as the writer of John so eloquently says, those who follow the true way come to the light, and it shows that the things they do were done through God. The question that I had at the very beginning of this sermon is, how do you represent Christianity? The way I want to do it is through light, to stand in the light, to leave myself so apparent for others. And I know a lot of us, and even myself, have darkness that we go to because we need to go to it for whatever reason. And I can't help but think, when Jesus came into this planet, God was literally putting a Q-beam through all of those things in our life, lighting it up, if you let him. Putting that light into that space, into that darkness, into those things that you hold so dearly, saying, God, I'm not ready to give this to you yet. Put a light on it. Because once you give it to me, it will shine. All those dark things that happen in our lives, they happen for a reason. They really do. Because some other people, another generation, may walk through the exact same thing. And if we are able to share the testimony of God's light in the midst of all that, we begin to truly understand what John 3:16 is. I'm not knocking the verse. I really do like John 3:16. But I think it's very important we put it into categories that we understand. And at the very end of Nicodemus's life, there's a story, I can't remember the exact chapter, but basically what ends up happening, there's this person by the name of Jesus who dies. There were very few people who gathered with him at his burial. And one of those was a Pharisee of the religious sect by the name of Nicodemus who bought the spices and items to pay for Jesus's burial. John was a very intelligent writer. Some people ask, whatever happened to him? I don't know what happened to Nicodemus, but something tells me he stepped into the light. Let's pray. Father God, you are the saving grace for all of us. There are so many wonderful stories in our Bible, but sometimes we have a tendency to focus on just one scripture. I pray that we do look at those important scriptures, but more importantly, look at the people behind those scriptures, because it's the stories of those people behind those scriptures that we begin to see ourselves. I pray like others did in scripture, that we see you, that we look for you in the light, so that we can share all the good works that you do through us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.